are living in urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Anne McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, good afternoon, my friends. It is December 1st, 2025, the first week of Advent. And how blessed are we to be able to praise God in a free society, to thank Him for all that He is about. Well, let us begin in prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to read the Serenity Prayer because I just sensed someone needed to hear this prayer today. Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking as He did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that He will make all things right if I surrender to His will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with You forever in the next. Amen. That beautiful serenity prayer. And so, Lord Jesus, we offer up today all those who are listening. We pray for their special needs. We pray for those who wanted to listen and could not listen. We pray for their special needs. We pray for peace in the world, every corner of our globe. We pray for peace, Lord Jesus. We pray right now for those who are victims of hurricanes or storms or even the snow that's coming to the Northeast or all over the U.S. We pray for safety and no power outages, and we thank You and praise You for that, Heavenly Father. And we entrust this program to Your Immaculate Heart and Your Sacred Heart. And we thank You, Jesus, for all that You're about. We thank You for this radio network, and we glorify Your holy name. Help us to be instruments of Your peace, to live in serenity. In Your holy name, amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, the title of this program today, and it could take different directions, is The Twilight of Our Lives. Are we in the twilight of our lives? This was pretty strong this afternoon to me. Now, remember, St. John of the Cross once said, in the twilight of our life, we will be judged on love. We will not be judged on our gifts, our talents, or our achievements. We will not be judged on how hard we've worked or how much we've accomplished. We will be judged on how much and how well we have loved, on whether we have loved one another as Jesus loved us. Isn't that powerful, my friends? It's not going to be based on your 401k or how many great things you do in your parish or in your family or in your work. You're going to be judged on love, pure love. Now, I think that's very important because I have spoken to so many people who think, oh, well, you know, and they say to me, oh, you've accomplished so much in your life, so much for the Lord. Well, that means zero. It means zero. Without love, all this means nothing. You see, little do we realize how much effort is being expended on our behalf to bring us safely home into the arms of our Lord Jesus Christ. Little do we realize how readily available to us is God's Holy Spirit. Little do we realize how deeply the Father is longing to draw us to Himself, or how vigorously Jesus, who always lives to make intercession for us, is praying for us at every moment of our lives. And that's from Hebrews 7, verse 25. Now, little do we anticipate what a reception awaits us upon our arrival. angels, archangels, saints and martyrs, the great cloud of witnesses gathered there before the throne, cheering for us as we're brought into the presence of God. That's what lies ahead of us, my friends. That is what we have to look forward to. If only we could see it and hear it and feel it right now, this moment, on Monday, December 1st, what a difference it would make in our lives to know, to really and truly know all that awaits us, all that is there for us now in God's plan. Well, guess what? We can know. We can know. God has made it known to us, and His Holy Spirit can bring it to our remembrance and make it real to us right now in our down-to-earth day-to-day life. Did you know this? In our day-to-day life experience. Now, this is what happens to us so we come to know and understand and live in the love of God. Now, this is all part of what I will call for this program a life of love. A life of love is one lived in continual awareness of God's love. Not complaining, not in fear, not in despair, but in total awareness of God's love. Now, a life of love is one lived in continual reliance on God's love. And a life of love is one lived in continuing giving of God's love to others. That's what I hope you did over Thanksgiving. I hope that you were able to give love to your family and maybe strangers over Thanksgiving and perhaps this Advent. Perhaps this Advent to tell people that your continual reliance on God's love and a life of love is one lived in a continual giving of God's love to others. Now, Jesus, as we know, because if you're listening to this program, you're most likely a true believer. Jesus made many remarkable statements, didn't he? In the sacred scriptures, some of the most remarkable are recorded in the Gospel of John, particularly in the late chapters where John recounts some of the things Jesus told his closest disciples and what he knew. What he knew were his last hours on earth. And this is what I want you to listen carefully for in the twilight of our lives. And one of the things Jesus talked about was his and the Father's love for them. Now, in chapter 15 in the book of John, we read, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love." That's from John 15:9. And a bit later, as you read on in chapter 17, Jesus prays to the Father for unity among his followers and as a sign to the world. Unity. "I, the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them even as thou hast loved me." That's John 17:22-23. See, it's very important to know our sacred scriptures, my friends. You know, during probably my early years of my prayer life, my reconversion, I call it, a lot of people use scripture with quote scripture to me. "Oh, did you know in da 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 da?" And I still have some friends that are they're not Catholic. They quote scripture to me and I smile and I understand. But it's almost like a dart. You know, we need to know as Christians, our scriptures, we need to know, if you're Roman Catholic, about the fullness of the sacraments of our church. This is how much God loves each of us. Yes, you who are listening. It does not matter what we've done or what our circumstances are or what difficulties we're facing today. And I know, if you're listening, you're facing a lot of difficulties. The truth of Scripture does not change, ever. We do not have a second-class love. We have all-perfect love of God the Father for the Son, and of the Son for the Father. This is our heritage. If you're saying, what is my heritage? That's our heritage. In God's mind, to forgive is to forget. Are you ready for that? To forgive is to forget in God's mind. Now, when we sin, we need to repent and to ask God to forgive us and strive by his grace not to sin again in that area. But once we've repented of our sin and received God's forgiveness, we need no longer call it to mind and brood over it. I know so many people, including myself through the ages, have brooded over it. God, having forgiven our sin, puts it in out of our minds. This is how much he loves us. He loves you. God's love, as we have seen, is faithful. It's solid. It's solid as a rock. It's surely unchanging. It's like rock that you can build on without fear, because you know it's going to be immovable. God is the God who keeps covenant. Covenant. Now, you might be saying, well, what do you mean? What's a covenant? Do you remember in early days, the Girl Scout and Boy Scout honor, you raise your hand and you on my honor and all that stuff, and I can't remember it all, but you're making somewhat of a covenant. Well, in our Christian faith, we need to make a covenant with the Lord. It's a solemn agreement, my friends. It's unlike a contract. It's not a contract, in that with a contract, it's no longer bound by it. But with it, a covenant, each party remains bound by the agreement, no matter what the other party does. God has made a covenant with you. Yes, you. No matter whether we keep our end of the bargain or not, he will keep his. We are faithless. He remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. God's love is faithful all the time, not a few hours a day. He's faithful to you. That's his nature. He will never leave you, abandon you, or walk away from you. We never turn to him only to hear him say, oh, I'm sorry, Frank. I'm sorry, Judy. I'm sorry, Joe. I'm sorry, Dean. He never says that. Oh, he never says, oh, I'm sorry. I have to look after someone else right now. Never, ever says that. He's faithful to us, and that's how much he loves us. There's no end to God's love. No end, my friends. No limit. There's nothing he will not do for us out of love. He proves that when he went and sent his only son to die for us, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not also give us all things to him? All things. Not a few things. All things. Scripture says God will give us all things. Anything you can think of that is for your good. That's holy. That's pure. The God who loved us enough to give us his son will never hold back his love from you. I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that someone listening today needs to hear this. He is not withholding his love from you because you may be sick or your mom's sick or your child's sick or you're financially hurting and you're wondering how you're going to make ends meet. He will not abandon you. Scripture says God will give us all things. So anything you can think of today that's for your good, that's holy, that's pure, the God who loved us enough to give us his son will never hold it back from us. We're loved so much, you and I, How clearly do we see it? Do you really see it? I remember Monsignor Essef, John Essef, an exorcist who's up in Scranton, who trains exorcists, who worked with Mother Teresa and her nuns, saying, "We are Jesus. Jesus lives in us. We are to be Jesus to others." Do we see that? How firmly do we hold on to it? How is it that we cling to the things of the world as though we did not have a God who loved us and was ready to provide us with everything we need? Well, why do we rely on so many things other than the love of God? Why do we do that? Why? I want you to answer that question. Wherever you're at right now, you're in your car, you're in the office, you're at home, you're picking your kids from school, you're in the nursing home. What do you rely on? What do you rely on? In what ways may these words apply to you today? We're beginning Advent. So it's very important for us to really identify, what are we relying on? What is it that you're relying on other than the love of God? Material possessions? There's nothing wrong with them. If God gives them to you, fine. Thank him for them and use them for his glory. But do not rely on them for security or happiness. Do you rely on other people? How often we find ourselves saying, "Oh, if I could just get into that circle, if I could just be married to that man or that woman, if I could just have that person for a friend." Now, God wants us to have good relationships with others, doesn't he? Now, this is one of his greatest blessings, but they're not to be the foundation of our lives. And a lot of times, guess what? They are. Gifts and abilities? Do we rely on our gifts and abilities? Oh, sure, these are wonderful. And praise be to God for lavishing his gifts upon you and equipping us to serve him so marvelously. But we cannot rely on our gifts and abilities to bring us what only God can truly bring us. Now, what else is there that we are tempted to rely on? Our job, our marriage, our heart, our health. And sometimes we rely on sinful patterns, don't we? Like gambling. I'm going to say it again. Like gambling, if I only could win the lottery, if I can only play those games that are on TV, I'm going to bet on this game. Gambling, that's a big one. It's a sinful pattern of behaving and relating that enable us to control or dominate others. How about harsh speech? How about gossip? How about sexual habits or anger or bitterness? So many things are clamoring for our attention. You know, when you stop and think about it, I'm 72, and in my early years, we didn't have the internet and all the social media and all these temptations. You had to go and buy a book that was bad or rent a TV program that was bad. Now it's just readily available. As soon as you flip on the TV or you turn on your phone to social media, it's there. So many things tempt us to draw our eyes away from God, right? To place our trust in something other than him and his love for us. It afflicts all of us, and not just you, in one way or another, to one degree or another, and yet look what God is for us. Who is God for you today? Look at the way he has blessed us. Look at the way he wants to bless you today. Look at that way. This is why we're talking about the twilight of our lives. We need to be the twilight of this day. It should come as no surprise, my friends, that even those who rely on God's love have to endure hardship and difficulty. Yep, Scripture makes no secret of this fact, does it? Doesn't it? The trials will be part of our lives as Christians. Well, take a deep breath. I'm sure many of you who are listening know that one. Scripture makes no secret of the fact that trials will be part of our lives as Christians. St. Paul was certainly one who knew how to rely on God's love. And yet his descriptions of bearing up under hardship are among the most poignant to be found anywhere, anywhere. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of the affliction we experience in Egypt. I'm reading this in the scriptures. For we were so utterly, unbearably crushed, that we despaired of life itself. Why? We felt that we had received a sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead, delivered us from deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. And that's from 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8 to 10. Now, sometimes God asks a great deal of us. I know you're taking a deep breath, as I am, and boy, oh boy, he asks a great deal of us. But he never asks more of us than he's prepared to give in return. And he actually calls us to let go of the things which we rely on, as we let go of the things that we're looking to for security and hope and peace. As we place our reliance on the Lord, he gives us security and hope and peace that passes our understanding. Isn't that amazing? So let's go. Let's go. If you're listening, let's go. That's our inheritance as sons and daughters of God. If we're not experiencing it, it's because we've not yet learned to trust in him, to open our hands and not want to let go. Can you hear the Lord speaking to you now, even now, calling you to surrender more to him, pointing out those things in your life that you need to turn over to him? The Lord's there for you. He's eager, if you're listening, to reign over more and more of your life as you let go of even those things you are most afraid to release. That's right. You may be afraid to release. He knows how important it is that we do let go. And he knows what joy and peace is waiting for us when we do. He knows what heartache and pain we're creating for ourselves when we do not. Notice God says that heat and drought, that is, hardship and heartache, oh, it'll come. Read Jeremiah 17, verses 5 to 8. He does not promise a life free of suffering. For some reason, so many believe, oh, I'm a good Christian, so I'm free of suffering. And sometimes it gets a little harder. It gets a little harder. But he does promise us his love and his abiding presence in our lives. He does promise that if we rely on him and on his love, he'll give us the strength we need for whatever comes our way. And he promises us his peace, which passes all understanding. He promises us, that's you, the presence of the Holy Spirit with all his gifts, wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, fear of the Lord. He promises you, my friend, the great gifts of faith, hope, and love. Now, I want you to answer this calmly and honestly. Do you really want to receive all that God has for you as you prepare for the calvary of your life? Do you really want to receive all that God has for you? Or do you want to cling and hold on to those things that make you feel secure to you? Then let go. Let go of what you're clinging to. You may be clinging to the kind of things you may be clinging to hurt, past hurts, bitterness, to resentment. You may even feel entitled to cling to them. Entitled is my new word of the week. How many people feel entitled to hold on to their hurts? But I want you to think of Jesus. He endured false accusations, mockery, betrayal. He knew great pain as his followers left him right in the midst of his suffering. Now, you may be in a nursing home and your family may have left you. Maybe you're in the middle of a separation and your spouse cheated on you. Jesus understands. He chose even then to trust his Father. Can you do this? Can you trust God the Father in the midst of this betrayal? He was making a way for you. This is a sign in sacred scripture. Let go of those things that cause hardness in your heart to me. We're preparing for Advent, for the coming of Jesus Christ. Let's work on letting go of that hardness in our hearts. Decide to forgive those who have hurt you. Decide to rely on God's love, and you will see Him act in your life. You will see Him work in your marriage and in your family, in your work and in your relationships. And you will see new strength, new hope, new confidence in your personal life. You will see the glory of God. Now, don't sell the Lord short. Oh, I know we have people who are doubting Thomas's right now. Don't sell the Lord short this Advent. He has so much in store for you. Let go and rely on God's love. Can you do that? Can you let go and rely on God's love? Now, we're going to talk a little bit, I'll get into it before the break, that there are five principles for loving one another, and they're really clear. So you may want to get a pencil or pen or take notes in your phone. The first is never, ever ask whether you will work out a difficulty in a relationship. Never, ever ask whether it will work out a difficulty. Only ask how. Can you do that? The second is hold no resentment. Now, if you know the sacred scriptures, in the second letter to the Corinthians, Paul teaches us that we should take every thought captive to obey Christ. That's from 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Now, we know we sometimes resolve a difficulty on the outer level. Yep, on the outer level, but not on that inner level. That is, we go through the right motions, don't we? And we say the right words with the right person, but inside we haven't released our bitterness. We've said the words, oh, I forgive you, with our mouth, but our hearts are saying, oh, no, I don't. By the power of the Holy Spirit, God will enable us to take every thought captive to obey Christ. We can be empowered to put away bitterness and resentment. Now, the third principle of loving one another is to speak no evil. Whoa, is that a tough one? That's a tough one because we're taught to we see a lot of evil on social media. The filth that's coming out of people's mouths is unbelievable. Unbelievable. The third principle is speak no evil. Probably most relationships break down of something that someone has said. And St. James in his epistle warns us that the tongue is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. That's why Paul urges us, let no evil talk come out of your mouth, but only such as good for edifying, as fits the occasion that it may impart grace to those who hear. That's from Ephesians 4:29. Now, isn't this a great challenge to live up to this teaching? I can't imagine the filth that's coming out of people's mouths, the evil, but also the goodness that's evolving on college campuses all over the world and in families. The fourth principle is don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. Go that extra mile. And my friends, after the break, we'll come back and we're going to be talking a little more about the twilight of our lives. And at the end of the program, we're going to pray together. So stay tuned.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate, with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, and I'm your host, Anne McGlone, on a weekly program called Thy Will Be Done, heard every Monday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. It's such a pleasure to be with you. I just wanted to remind you that we're coming into the end of the year, and many of you may be listening and need a write-off, and so I highly, highly recommend, if you want to see this amazing network continue on for decades to come, to use this amazing network as a write-off for your end of year contribution. So it would be to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, and you can call Maureen during the day at 610-527-2906. It would be a great gift to Kathleen McCarthy and In His Sign. All the years this radio network has been on the air, that everyone would rally at the end of the year to donate for a tax write-off. And because it is a tax-exempt nonprofit ministry, you get a tax exemption. So you may be a little bit for you. You may not be a millionaire, or you may be a millionaire. You may be just somebody on Social Security and you need a little write-off. This is the perfect ministry for you to do this. I know that I would like to see a commercial made for this, because it's a powerful tool for continuing the legacy of In His Sign Catholic Radio Network for decades to come. So pray about it, consider it. And again, if you're looking for a write-off, no matter how small or how large, this is the network. Look, no one is making a big salary here. We're all volunteers. All the broadcasters are volunteers, with the exception of one administrator who has to run the office. That's amazing. All these decades that this radio network has been on the air by volunteers. Kathleen McCarthy receives nothing, neither do the broadcasters. So I'm encouraging you this Advent to pray about giving to this radio network an end-of-year contribution, and it's tax-deductible. All right, so I did my pitch, my friends. So we're talking about preparing for the twilight of our lives. Well, that's certainly preparing for the twilight of our lives. By the way, get a will. Prepare your will and a power of attorney, an adorable power of attorney. And if you want anything left to this ministry, be sure to put it in your will. All right, so we're talking about the principles of loving one another and preparing for the twilight of our lives. The fourth principle about going that extra mile is never, ever give up. Put away that attitude that says, well, I've done all that's reasonable for me to do. I can't do anything more. And the heck with this whole thing. Well, I know. I've been there. I've done that. And I've said that. Now, Scripture makes it clear that relationship difficulties among brothers and sisters in the Lord are very serious matters that deserve going to the extra mile to resolve. Now, the fifth principle sums up a theme that has been running through the previous ones that we've talked about. Always take the initiative, my friends, to resolve relationship problems. Now, especially during Advent, I encourage you. Two sayings of Jesus helped us to drive this point home. Now, I know you know the scripture from Matthew 18:15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you will have gained your brother. Now, I know you know this one too. If you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go first. Be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Now, do you see the thread that runs through these two teachings? Do you see them tonight? If you sin against your brother, you go and seek reconciliation. If your brother sins against you, you go and seek reconciliation. No matter whether it is he or you who causes the original problem, you go and initiate the process of reconciliation. Now, I know we have some really hard-headed people who may be saying, I am not going. I didn't do anything. It was so-and-so that did it. Why should I go? Wow, do you want to receive a lot of grace? Then you go, whether you're responsible or not, and seek the reconciliation. If you want to experience God's grace in a powerful way, this is what you do. One person who seems to me epitomized a life of love, and you've heard me say this many times over the years, was Mother Teresa of Calcutta. She not only lived in constant awareness and reliance upon God's love for her, but she constantly radiated that love to others. Now, today, in watching the news, I noticed that Pope Leo was in Lebanon, and he was going to the tomb and the shrine of Saint Charbel. Now, here's a bit of trivia for you. Saint Charbel, I've been praying to him for 2 or 3 years now, but he's a distant cousin of Monsignor John Essef. Yes, he is. He's a Maronite, and he's a distant cousin of Monsignor John Essef. So I thought you would like to know that, but pray to Saint Charbel. Now, sometimes it's spelled S-H-A-R-B-E-L, and sometimes C-H-A-R-B-E-L. But Pope Leo visited the shrine for the first time in Lebanon of St. Charbel, which brought to my attention a story from Father Leo Mosberg in my home, who wrote the book about Mother Teresa, who traveled the world with her. And he was telling the story of going to Lebanon, to Beirut, actually, when all the bombings and everything was happening years before her death. And she went in to rescue children from an orphanage. And he said, Mother, we cannot go in there. There's a war going on. We cannot. And we don't have diplomatic privileges to go in and rescue these children. So she patted his hand and said, don't worry. So the next morning, she told him to go get the car. And he said, where are we going? And he said, she smiled and she said, we're going to rescue the children. He said, Mother, we don't have diplomatic privileges to do this, and we're in the middle of a war. How are we going to get in the car and go rescue the children? She smiled and she said, with love, with love. I remember him saying they went maneuvered through the streets and they were war-torn and bombed, and they arrived at the orphanage where her sisters were taking care of these orphanage, or these poor orphans in the orphanage. And they rescued the children that the bombing was happening all around them, but she rescued them and got them out of Beirut. And he said, she didn't have any privileges to go in there. She just had the Lord, a smile and love. And she rescued those children. And she did so many things out of love. See, we don't even know what love is in Western civilization today, that type of love, agape, love. But hers was coupled with faith. And that's what Jesus is asking us to do this Advent. That's what he wants us to do. Why Mother Teresa was who she was and why God could use her as he did, I want you to think about that. She was always obedient to the word of God. She knew what Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And because she wanted to live a life of love, she lived a life of obedience and freedom. She had the freedom, no fear, to go into the center of Beirut to that orphanage to rescue those children. She didn't have guns. She didn't have diplomatic privileges. She just simply said, let's go. And I remember Father, Liam Osberg said, he was astounded because he was a diplomat and he was a Vatican lawyer and he was one of her spiritual directors. And he told that story in amazement, how we may not have all the privileges of doing something, but if we have love and faith and God beside us, nothing is impossible. Now, Mother Teresa knew what Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And because she wanted to live a life of love, she lived a life of obedience and freedom. I want you to remember these words, obedience and freedom. That freedom is not just for the Mother Teresa's of the world or the Kathleen McCarthy's or the visionaries in Medjugorje or the visionaries of Fatima. It's for you, you who are listening, and me as well. It is for all God's little ones, all God's little ones. This Advent is so special, my friends. It is so special. The power to live a life of love is available to you, to me. The question is tonight, December 1st, 2025, are we going to respond to it? Will we accept it? Will we open our hearts wide to receive the faithful, merciful, healing love of God, to let it pour into us and pour out of us to all those around us? Will we decide to live a life of love in the grace and power of the Holy Spirit? I want you to answer that right now. See, a life of love is drawn from a life of prayer. You just can't say, oh, I love her, or I love him, or I love God. That's born from a life of prayer. Now, the condition of our prayer lives, my friends, will often determine how well we'll be able to receive God's love. We need to receive and embrace God's love, and how well we'll be able to give that love to others. Now, our prayer life is like our car, and mine's up for inspection, which has a number of elements that have to be properly be kept up if it is to keep running smoothly. Now, I'm sure a lot of you have car inspections or your heaters need to be inspected. We can neglect that for a while, and our life with the Lord may seem to keep moving along smoothly, but before long, we run into trouble, right? If I don't get my car inspected, probably the brakes will go. Probably the bearings, the oil needs to be changed. Before we run into trouble, we find ourselves feeling out of touch with God, don't we? Unable to conquer temptation, unable to love others as we should, all because we did not keep up with the basics, our inspection. Just as you get your car inspected or your heater inspected, we need to inspect our souls. And that's the power of the sacrament of reconciliation, my friends. That's the examination of conscience that we went through last summer in this program. Prayer is our joyful duty. And Mother Teresa says that all the time to the people in her car who she ministered to. And we want that tonight, don't we? Look, prayer is what we were made for. You weren't made to make a big 401k. You weren't made to be a CEO of a company to have the big boat, the big yacht. They're all okay. There's nothing sinful about that. But how's your inspection going? Are you preparing for the twilight of your life? God created us to know him. Do you remember the Baltimore Catechism? To love him and to serve him. And the most basic expression of the knowledge, love, and service of God is prayer. And when you pray, you're reaching the ultimate fulfillment in this life. So, as Mother Teresa said, prayer's a duty, but it's a joyful duty because it's the deepest expression of what we were created for. and the richest source of God's blessing in our lives. Now, prayer for me is a sign of my commitment to the Lord. Prayer for me is a sign of my commitment to the Lord. And as I shared, I think two or three weeks ago, I was sharing how a friend of mine had a well dug of over 300 feet. They just couldn't get water. He was trying to get a new well, a deep well put in, and they kept digging and digging, and they couldn't reach the water line. Finally, I think it was 364 feet, they hit water and finally had water. And it was a realization that hit me that a lot of times our suffering goes deeper and deeper and deeper until we get it, until we get the power of our suffering in our intercessory prayer. It was a wake-up moment for me that our intercessory prayer is empowered by our suffering. Isn't that powerful? Think about that. Think about it. The more you're suffering tonight, the stronger your prayer power is if you offer it to the Lord or for a particular person or situation. I'm living it. I have to tell you, the past few years have been pretty difficult with medical issues and family issues. The more difficult it is, the sadness, the deeper my prayer life has become. The deeper my prayer life has become. Now, I know that you're saying, well, I feel like running away when it gets really hard. It's easy to run away. And trust me, I've run away. But I come back because God taps me on the shoulder and says, get back here. I have so much to speak to you. He doesn't speak to me like Kathleen. But he speaks to me in preparing for this radio program. It's just an intuition. He places ideas in my heart. And to me, that's love. Because he must love you to allow this radio network to exist. He must love you enough for you to tune in today to gain your strength to keep going. I know this beyond the shadow of a doubt. I'm not talking about academic study. And I remember Sister Breege McKenna, an Irish nun, who I did a video with her in the 1980s. She said, Ann dear, no theologian ever studied their way into heaven in her Irish brogue. Isn't that powerful? No theologian ever studied their way into heaven. So it's the simple prayer from you. You in the nursing home, you who are disabled in a bed, you who are going through a terrible time in your family with your kids, with your in-laws, with your husband, your wife, your prayer is so powerful. Do not waste a moment of this suffering. Offer it up, my friends. You know, I love the saying that Kathleen, and I think we need to have sweatshirts or t-shirts made. I would love to have a t-shirt made. It is what it is. She says it all the time. Like, it is what it is. And I want you to think about, what does that mean? It is what it is. Well, God has it all under control. He has it all under control. And trust me, he does. Pray the surrender novena. If you have a phone or a tablet, look up the Surrender Novena by Dom Galinda. It will take you right through it. I pray it in the middle of the night. It's very powerful when you feel like you're choking and you can't go another day because so much is pounding on your heart. You pray the Surrender Novena. It's very, very powerful. And you surrender your life to Jesus. I also recommend the St. Michael Chaplet. Been praying that for years. Pray, look it up, and all the blessings, because in the trivia and the twilight of our lives, we need to have the archangels and angels surrounding us. We need our Blessed Mother at our side. We need Jesus to welcome us with his loving arms. We need to prepare, my friends. We need to prepare. So many, many years ago, do you remember Father Larry Hess. He had great healing ministry. We became friends because he gave some retreats that I had set up for him at Malvern Retreat House and other places. He used to call me El Capitan. I would say, why are you calling me El Capitan? Well, he gave me a whole slew of these prayer cards, and he prayed these prayers over people he visited in the hospital. And so I know that this actually comes from St. Padre Pio, because I heard the same prayer from Padre Pio, but I think that there's some adaptations to it. So let us pray together. I want to pray with you. If you're suffering, offer that suffering up for someone right now who is in desperate need of your prayers. Outside of your suffering, offer your suffering for someone perhaps in this ministry who's listening. And let us begin in prayer. This is a prayer card that he used when he visited sick people, people in hospitals, people in homes. And I have it here with me. Heavenly Father, I call on you right now in a special way. It is through your power that, and I want you to put the name of the person in there, was created. Every breath we take, every morning we wake, in every moment of every hour, we live under your power. Father, we ask you now to touch this person, name the person, with that same power. For if you created us from nothing, you can certainly recreate us. Fill us with the healing power of your Holy Spirit. Cast out anything that should not be in us. Mend what is broken. Root out unproductive cells. Open any blocked arteries or veins and rebuild any damaged areas. Remove all inflammation and cleanse any infection. Let the warmth of your healing love pass through our bodies to make new any unhealthy areas so that our bodies will function the way you created them to function. And Father, please restore and name the person to full health in mind, body, and spirit, so we may serve you the rest of our lives. I ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Again, it's a prayer card from Father Larry J. Hess from Reading, Pennsylvania, who gave me a whole bunch of these things years ago before he passed away. And I remember he said, pray this every day. Pray this every day. God is about a mighty work, my friends. God is about a mighty work. And so as I've done in the weeks and weeks past, this is In the Silence of My Heart, Volume 4, Prophetic Word through Kathleen McCarthy, and I felt that I should start off Advent with it. Again, the Nikiel Obstadt and Imprimatur is given by the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. So I ask that you stay with me, but I know that this is meant for someone who is listening or multiple people who are listening today. So my friend, if you can, open your hands and embrace the word of God and this healing in your life. On this journey that you walk, this journey called life, this journey that each of you walk alone, but yet are surrounded by those that you love, companions on the way. Do you realize that I walk with you along the journey? Do you really realize and understand that I am with you always? I call you to walk in obedience. I call you to follow the example of my mother. Did she not acquiesce everything? Yes, she did. Did she not offer you the gift of her motherhood? Did she not offer you the gift of her son? It was indeed a journey that she had to walk. But again, she acquiesced to me. And I call you tonight to realize this truth, to walk in obedience. When you walk in obedience along this journey of life, it is then that you too can say, as my mother said, my soul magnifies the Lord. and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Yes, you too can live that message out when you keep your eyes on me. When you recognize that I'm on the journey with you, you do not walk alone. I'm with you in your suffering, in your joy, in your triumph. And I call it to walk in obedience, because when you walk in obedience, even your body shall be blessed and anointed. When you walk in obedience, you will be a living witness to the power of my Holy Spirit. You will be a living witness to the people that are still walking in darkness, and many are. And if they do not walk in obedience to me, if they do not come to me and follow me, if they do not recognize me as Lord and Savior, if they do not recognize me as the one who was sent into the world to bring them to repentance so that I can forgive their sins, then surely they will be lost. And so I say to you tonight, acquiesce to my will in your life. Give me your amen. Let it be done to you according to my will. And the more you ponder this, the more you realize that I'm walking with you on this road, the road that will lead to everlasting life. When you come and follow me, when you seek my will over your own will, when you surrender all those things in your life that are stumbling blocks, that would draw you away from me rather than draw you to me. And when you do that in obedience, you shall be blessed mightily, not only in your spirit, but in your mind, in your heart, and yes, the body, which is for the Lord. And so I will bless you, anoint you, and I call you to take that anointing out to the world, the anointing of my Holy Spirit living in you. And when you do, when you recognize me in the breaking of the bread, when you recognize my mother as your mother, and when you recognize me walking alongside you, I want to converse with you, but you don't even give me the time of day. I want to sing a new song in your heart tonight. I want to fill you with that wisdom that comes from above. And I want to fill you with that wisdom that comes from above. I want to send you out into the world to go and make disciples, but I want to equip you with every good thing, for every good work, because you love nothing. My friends, our Lord Jesus is reaching across the airways to you, wherever you are. He hears the cry of your heart tonight, the cry of your heart. Believe, embrace, and know that you are loved. Until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you, and know that you are loved. God bless you.
Be alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.